Welcome back to the Jerry Bader Program. The Hillary Clinton political machine is trying to defend the claim that money got influence to the State Department. There were a handful of large donors that we've talked about over the last few weeks in the news regarding giving several million dollars to the Hillary campaign, or to the, I'm sorry, to the Clinton Foundation. And therefore, what do you know? Right after that, look, we got a meeting with somebody you needed to get in touch with, and it was facilitated by the State Department. So the Hillary campaign is saying, look, these reports are cherry picking and not representative of all the people that she met with in the State Department. And it's just, you're not being fair. You're cherry picking. And okay. So AP has just dropped a little bit of a bombshell that it's going to be a little hard to step around this one. 85 of the 154 people from private interests who met or had phone conversations scheduled with Clinton while she was Secretary of State, guess what? 85 out of 154 donated to the family charity, or at least pledged commitments to its international programs. This is a review of State Department calendars released so far to the Associated Press. Combined, the 85 donors contributed about $156 million. At least 40 donated more than $100,000 each, and 20 gave more than $1 million. I don't understand how you can justify that. You can't. And in a desperate move, Hillary Clinton went on the attack yesterday, attacking Trump University and going after what she's calling the predatory school, saying this is just not right. These private schools that are for profit education centers. This is typically where you go and get your master's and other graduate programs and so forth. That it's just not right that they're charging so much money and they're predatory. And then it came out that, what do you know? Slick Willie was actually a honorary chancellor of one of the biggest schools and made a lot of money being in that position. So again, hypocrisy at its best. Okay, last but not least, I saved this for the very end because this is just another example of what we've talked about as far as gun ownership. And I didn't want to go off on Second Amendment gun rights. We've had that conversation. But one of the arguments that you hear is never has a citizen with a gun stopped a crime or stopped a mass shooting. It just doesn't happen. And you and I both know that's a load of hogwash. We know that it does happen. We have, on this program, we have discussed time and time again, private citizens that have either stopped somebody from acting out in public or stopped a robbery in their own home. Carrying a gun is our right, and it does deter crime. This one really caught my attention. A 91-year-old Detroit man was getting out of his car by a Rite Aid pharmacy in East Point, Michigan earlier this week when, according to the police report that is being reported here, another man began approaching him, acting in a bizarre and erratic fashion. You've had that happen. You've been out and you see somebody acting not quite right, and you're a little cautious. You're weary. It's like, okay, what's going on? Keep in mind, this is a 91-year-old man. At that moment, the 91-year-old announced to the other man that he held a concealed carry license. He said, I announced a concealed pistol license. The officer, Sergeant Martin Campbell, told one of the news agencies there, the Detroit News, he says he warned the individual three or four times and even pulled his weapon and pointed it at the individual. However, the suspect kept coming and pointed an unknown object at the victim. That is when you've got to make a split decision. You don't know what the object is. The individual is acting erratically. Sure, he may be mentally disturbed. Yes, he may be on drugs. Maybe a combination of the two. But you have a decision at that moment. What do you do? Rather than reconsidering his actions based on all that he saw and heard, the suspect did not stop. The elderly man opened fire and hit the suspect in the neck. Quote from the officer, Deputy Police Chief Eric Kaiser told another news agency, one of the news TV stations there, this was an attempted robbery of the shooter. The person who fired the shots had a concealed permit, was lawfully carrying a handgun, and said that he defended himself when he was attacked. Still, Kaiser told the station, police are consulting with the Macomb County Prosecutor's Office to determine whether the 91-year-old acted in self-defense and carried out his actions legally. Of course, that is standard procedure. You have a shooting, you can't just show up and go, oh, looks like it's pretty good to me. We're gonna head on out of here. Thanks very much. No, you've got to make sure all the I's are dotted, T's are crossed. The suspect, who fled on foot after getting shot in the neck, this event happened right across the street from a Rite Aid pharmacy. This guy's not, apparently all his faculties weren't there because he just got shot in the neck. And of course, he's like, guess I better get to a pharmacy. This isn't right. So yeah, he goes to the pharmacy, and that's when two detectives found him. The suspect, described as a black male in his 20s, was taken to a hospital in police custody with non-life-threatening wounds. No gun was found on the suspect. No other information about whether or not there was a different weapon or not. But see, this is exactly what I'm talking about when we say there's no reason at all to restrict our rights to carry a gun. None. California has enacted some really bizarre attempts at, if you can't control carrying the gun is useless if you can't get bullets. They have policies where every time, and it's not, I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not entirely sure this is statewide, but I know in certain counties, every time you buy ammunition, every time you have to go through a background check. Not just when you purchase the gun, you have to go through a background check every stinking time you buy ammunition. One of our Olympic athletes who was involved in competition said she lives there, and this is a very problematic situation because not only that, but they have issues with how much ammunition you can carry at any one time. She goes out to the range and will fire, you know, 200-300 rounds while practicing. But occasionally she has a few hundred rounds left over. And there are ordinances and laws preventing carrying that much ammunition. This is ridiculous. And it is, these types of laws have no effect on public safety. None. It is simply an attempt, and a very effective attempt, at restricting our ability to carry. Why do I bring this up? Eventually, this type of argument is going to come here. It is a more difficult land here in Wisconsin to have and convince the people that we should have limitations like that, but it's coming. It is going to be an issue. Maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but there are far too many individuals who don't understand defending yourself, who don't believe that you and I not only have, don't agree with the fact that we have the right to do it, but think we are not capable of controlling ourselves and controlling our handgun. And they love to ignore a story about a 91-year-old man who defended himself successfully, shot the assailant, and nobody else was hurt. I want to ignore that entirely. Keep that in mind when these arguments come up in the near future. I am almost out of time, and I don't want to lose the opportunity to say thank you once again for letting me be here. It is it's an honor to substitute for Jerry when he's out. I will be here with you again tomorrow. If there's something that you would like to add to the conversation we didn't quite get to today, comment about some of the things that we've talked about. You know what I'm going to say. Send me an email, seth.mila@wsau.com. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care, everybody.
The Jerry Bader Show.